When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and joining us now from All City Dallas, your longtime Mavs reporter, Tim Cato, joining us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing well. How are you guys today?
We are doing excellent. Thank you. What do you say about this start of the season? Just to put it into context, I'm wondering, is it all injury related? Is it a slow start? Was there lack of urgency? I don't know if this is going to be a great regular season team, but dang, they've looked good here over the last couple. Tim, what do you say?
Yeah, man, I'm sticking by the idea that they're still the very good team that we thought they were going to be coming into the season. They had, you know, that stretch of losses, the four-game losing streak, it was what, by a combined 8 points. I made a joke on the DLLS show today that I was on, our live stream this afternoon, that the Utah game felt like gaslighting. It's like they're trying to convince us that they weren't a good team. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to fall for that. I'm aware that this team is in fact good. And, you know, for the most, you know, they're top 10 in offense, they're top 10 in defense. To me, that stands out way more than a record that is decided by a handful of plays over, you know, four games. Look, Dallas had to take that stretch seriously because you can't lose four in a row in that fashion and just, you know, wave it away. You know, they can't. The people in that locker room cannot say, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. Let's, you know, well, you know, look at our offense and our defense. It's both top 10. But for me, from my vantage point, you know, analyzing this team from afar, from a bird's eye view, yeah, I'm willing to look at the offense and the defense and, you know, what has actually happened in the losses and kind of brush it aside and say this team is better than the record indicates. Even if it's, you know, a bummer and, you know, not something just to say, oh, shucks to the losing streak. But I do think this team is still going to be good, is good. And I think the record is going to reflect it in time.
Will be better than last year's team, or has the potential to be better than last year's team, or doesn't? What do you say about that?
I mean, better. You know, I think when you say better, you're of course referring to, you know, what the team was after the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they went to the finals, I mean, I'm not convinced that this team is going back to the finals. I think they can be as good. I think that they can be as good in different ways. I think there's scenarios where last season's team that went to the finals might not have gone if a few things had gone differently. So, you know, just they can be as good as last year's team, and not making it back to the finals doesn't necessarily reflect that one way or the other. But yeah, I still think this team can be as good. And I think they have a higher ceiling. It's meeting that ceiling, matching that ceiling, whether they're able to get to that point. To me, that's the big question about this team. Yes, I think they're going to be as good.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I wonder during the regular season, with the way Jason Kidd kind of goes about, I'm trying out a bunch of different lineups and I'm going to test things out. As a fan over the course of the last few years with Jason Kidd as the coach, I felt like maybe some wins have been sacrificed because he is kind of toying around with different pieces. Should we just kind of get to the point where let's not overreact about the regular season? Because it kind of seems like they don't care. Whatever seed they get, they're just going to run with it.
Yeah, I do think Jason Kidd is kind of wired that way. I think he's shown it. He has already kind of mentioned, you know, the C word, which is Christmas. He loves saying, you know, check back in with us around Christmas and, you know, we'll have a better idea what the team is. All offseason, my whole thing with the team was that they were deeper, that they were set up to succeed right away, and that a lot of the issues with starting slow that the team did have to build themselves out of regular season record, standing gaps, stuff like that, and then weren't able to start the postseason, you know, with home court advantage. I thought this was the season that they're going to turn that around a bit. And I think it's early enough that, you know, it's not Christmas yet. There's, you know, we're a month plus away from that. And the team getting that out of the way in the first few weeks rather than, you know, the first 2 months, I think there is a difference in that if they're able to turn it around. I think that if the team continues on that way, you know, continues being not quite as good as we expect or dropping some games they shouldn't, I would probably come back to the idea that, yeah, they maybe they're not taking the regular season or maybe the early regular season isn't a, you know, something to, you know, judge this entire team's season on. But I think it's going to be kind of disappointing if that's what it turns out to be, because this is this season and this opportunity with the roster they have built over the summer, I think was a prime opportunity to dispel that slow starting team and that slow those slow starting expectations that we've built up. And I think that'd be a really good thing for them to do. And so, yeah, yes and no, I guess, is the short answer.
Tim Cato, All City Dallas, with us here on The Fan. What do you make of the more of Luka off ball, less usage? Do you feel like that's the right plan? And how would you say that's going at this point?
I think it's true. I think it's a little bit overblown. I think some of the touches and the time of possession stuff that's down is just because he's not bringing the ball up the court as much. And when you consider, you know, if he's doing it 20 times less than he did last season, you know, that's 20 times eight, you know, 20 times, you know, that's 20 more touches that he's not getting in the flow of the offense. Obviously, he, you know, even beyond that, yes, he's touching the ball a little bit less. His usage is a little bit less. So are a bunch of other stats. His total, you know, his defensive rebounding percentage is down. His assist rate is down. This is stuff that isn't necessarily tied to the usage. He's just not started that well. You know, whether that is, it's definitely physical injuries. It's definitely physical health. To the degree that he is responsible for that physical health, that's a really hard thing to separate. But no, it does. It clearly looks like he's not in as good of a shape as he started last season. And, you know, even two seasons ago, he started really well. So Luka needs to get back to where he is. And I think the other stuff will fall into place. Ultimately, I think it's a good thing if his usage falls a little bit. There's a really good article by Josh Bow. He's over at Mavs Moneyball, a place I used to manage many years ago, who wrote about how all the championship teams over the past decade or so, their best player had usage beneath what Luka's been averaging these past 3 years, past few years. And yeah, so ultimately I think that he should reduce his volume just a little bit if that gives him the energy and the opportunity to be better in all these other areas, specifically on defense. I just think it's been every area, not just usage, that Luka's been down a little bit. Ultimately, I think it's going to be a good thing for him. I want to see the rewards of having the ball a little bit less. I want to see those rewards spread out in other areas of Luka's game, and he hasn't done that quite as consistently as you would like so far this year.
It's Tim Cato with us here on The Fan. What do the people say about his preparation with this cardio? I think you should be Iron Man in the pool on the bike guy. You know, if it's holding you back in any way, I think you need to attack that. Maybe it's a case where you just have to let Luka play his way into shape because you don't want to be wearing yourself out. You know, how do we approach this?
I mean, it's hard to come up with a solution when this is a problem that has occurred year over year after year. Again, I don't, you know, I try not to directly speculate on exactly where he is fitness wise. Again, it's a really hard thing to uncouple because right now he is physically ailing. He has several things that are affecting him. He doesn't look 100% on the court. And I can't speak to, you know, I wasn't there working out with him over the summer. You know, I can't speak to, you know, what type of shape he was in. Honestly, it seemed like he came into the season, like he reported to camp in pretty good shape. And then he immediately got that injury and sat for a few weeks. So maybe it was, you know, that very first initial injury that kind of undid some of the progress. But again, it's really hard to know. I think that, you know, there's been so many coaches. Okay, there's been two coaches. There's been two head coaches. But these two head coaches have tried a lot of different methods. And, you know, the only one that really seemed to work is that he was playing Slovenian basketball basically up until the point of training camp a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's an ongoing problem with him. It's one that, you know, without being in his inner circle or maybe being within his inner thoughts, you know, there's no way to know for sure the way to fix it. All I could say is that as a basketball and Luka enjoyer, as somebody who you know, very much likes watching him at his best. I hope it's not more than a few more weeks that we're kind of slogging through this limited, quote, not quite himself version of Doncic.
Tim, as you look at this basketball team, and it's probably a small, very small sample size, but as you evaluate it, where do you think that maybe they need to add? You know, we always like to speculate about players and positions and trades and things like that. But as you look at this team, where do you think they're deficient?
Yeah, I would say there's two areas. This is a top 10 defense right now, but I think a lot of that is just the way that they've throttled bad teams. Their defensive rating against teams with a winning record is quite a bit worse. There's a big disparity between how they defend against bad teams and how they defend against good teams. We also know that rebounding has been an issue. The thing that would kind of solve both in one swoop is to have a player behind PJ Washington who could also play the three, kind of a tall 3-4 who defends. You know, Herb Jones is a popular name, somebody that comes to mind, someone in that vein. And I just think that, you know, last season, Derrick Jones Jr. was the closest thing I've seen to the team having a perimeter-based all-defense type player. Sure. He wasn't quite on that level, but he was someone who, you know, I was an awards voter and I considered him on the short list. Mm-hmm. He didn't really get a lot of consideration in the end for a top 10 player vote. But he was, you know, on the top 25 list. I don't know if they have any top 25 defenders, excluding Lively. You know, Lively certainly on the interior is providing that. But I don't know if they have a perimeter defender. Quentin Grimes is above average. Najee Marshall is above average. These are good defenders who are helping the team. But, you know, just adding an all defense or near all defense type perimeter defender, perimeter stopper, and also someone tall who can rebound, who can add some defensive rebounding punch. If that type of player is available, is gettable this season, that's the one area that I see as something worth pursuing for them. Otherwise, I think they're a pretty deep, pretty well-constructed team.
Yeah, like newcomer report, you mentioned Marshall and Grimes. I was just curious, like, how the additions of those two guys, even Clay, like those three big names that they added, has that all sort of met expectations to this point?
I think so. It was a little rocky with Quentin Grimes and his minutes at first, but all that seems to have been resolved. He's a really good player for this team, and he is a point guard defender. He's a guy who gets around screens. That's really valuable for this group. Klay Thompson has been a little underwhelming, but for the most part, fine on offense. And I think he's been pretty much what you can expect, about as much as you can expect on defense, where he's been, you know, a solid, capable guy on that end, even if he's not an all defense type player like he was for a little bit before his injuries. And then Najee has been awesome for this team. I mean, I think he's been the MVP of that trio thus far, even though he's not making threes. And he's probably going to cool off a little bit on the two-point shooting. But, you know, maybe the three-pointer comes around. And just in general, he has been, I think, really valuable to this team, just providing a little bit more creation. And creation that, you know, the key thing is that he knows when to go find his shot, or he kind of has the comfort in this offense. We've seen players like Josh Richardson or Grant Williams or, you know, a couple other guys come in and then they just don't quite know how to exist playing next to Luka, playing next to another ball dominant guard. I really like that Najee has very quickly found his rhythm within this offense. And so, yeah, I think for those additions, everything has lived up to expectations more or less. If there's any disappointments, it's, players already on the roster, and quite frankly, really Luka just getting back to those MVP standards, which we expect him to do at some point in the near future.
Tim Cato, All City Mavs here, wrapping up. You'll be with them in Denver on Friday night. This Nuggets team is kind of in a similar situation as the Mavs, aren't they?
Yeah, a little bit. Jokic has been amazing for them, and he's covered up some flaws. But yeah, they slid a little bit. They've been sliding without him. He's missed three games for personal reasons, and no telling if he's going to be available on Friday. But yeah, Denver was one of those games in that four game slide, of course, and Dallas lost at the very end. What's funny is Dallas also has a chirp coming up against Utah. So a couple chances at redemption in the literal cities against the exact same teams that they lost in those four game. In that four-game losing skid, so that's a good opportunity to show that you know, we're right and that this team is as good as our preseason expectations. And look, I love when people prove me right. So, you know, got a lot of attention focused on these games.
Yeah, let's love it. Do pros get up for revenge games?
I sure hope so.
Me too.
Are they getting up for the in-season tournament games, or is that just an eye roll to the players, you think?
I mean, just the stimulation of the courts.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a lot.
Think that it, yeah, you know, that bright blue, that's got to function as like an Adderall, you know?
Thanks, Tim. Your NBA insights and wisdom are unparalleled, sir, and we thank you so much anytime we get to chat with you.
Absolutely.
There he goes. Tim Cato. All City Mavs. You want to follow him on social and watch his podcast and stuff. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 420. What's the subject, sir?
Let's talk about the happiest place on earth. It was National Mickey Mouse Day. We've got the top 10 Disney movies of all time. That's next in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segment's brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214-817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. And let's go over here to Zach with an H. Here, Willie Bully.
What, Brian? What is it now?
I'd like a top 10 list tomorrow of Eric's best dash dot commercials that he's ever done.
No, there's only one.
That's quite impressive.
Dash dot dash.
He was doing Morse code.
Took about 3 hours to get that thing nailed.
Dash dash dot dot dash dash.
Was
dash,
that a one taker?
No, it was not a one taker. That was like at least an hour.
Wow.
Trying to piece that.
That was impressive,
together.
By the way.
Thank you.
Did you do it off the top of your head?
Absolutely not. I'd be I love Jack Pocket, man.
You
that's
do.
Really that. That's
yeah,
what
they're
this
good.
Is all
great
about.
People. Jack Pocket. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you're doing the lottery and you're not doing Jack Pocket,
yeah,
you're doing yourself a disservice.
Very easy
dot,
to use.
Dot dot dash dash dot dot.
Got
dash.
The apps and everything. Yeah.
Promo it's codes. Awesome.
Yeah.
Expiration dates.
Love all the dates.
It's a mouthful.
And the promos. I think it
clearly
everybody loves.
I thought Bros was going to call me out for grubbing right now, but
no, oh, heck no. You're talking about I'm pulling beef jerky out of my teeth. I ate earlier today.
Good call.
You actually went for the beef.
Did you chew it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It, you know
the
what?
Half bag full that you're complaining about. Like, don't get it.
It's kind of when you're hungry, you have to. I can't have the Pop-Tarts in there.
Yeah. Right? And for a weight loss challenge like we're on, that's the only thing you can get out of that.
Yeah, and you're going to lose weight because it's only half a bag.
That's true.
So when you guys get food in your teeth, you just get it out there and swallow it. You don't spit it out or nothing.
I spit this one out because it was like because I have a gap in the back there and it just kind of got caught.
He's a spitter.
I'll usually swallow
save
that
later thing. Pocket.
I had to
use swallow it. I
like
believe you.
A little steak in my teeth.
Yeah, 2 hours later, man. Hey, yeah. Here we go.
Still got some good flavor.
Yeah. Nice.
A1 flavor to it. Good.
877-881-1053. What is your favorite Disney movie? It was National Mickey Mouse Day a couple days ago. I actually did watch Moana for the first time with the baby girl.
That's
we got
sweet.
Moana 2.
That's sweet.
It's coming out. I think next week. I think we're expecting the biggest Thanksgiving weekend in a long time.
You guys go to the movies when that happens?
Gladiator 2 when Thanksgiving happens?
Yeah. No, when the movies come out like that. On Thanksgiving, do you go?
Yeah, we used to, I mean, a holiday, maybe not like on Thanksgiving.
Like the Friday.
Yeah, that Black Friday or whatever, that weekend.
Got football on that
there's usually
day, right?
Some good
Kansas
stuff.
Kansas City and the Raiders?
Yeah, typically. Well, I mean,
you
I don't
go
know,
at night.
Yeah, you go at night.
There's ways around it. And I don't know that we'll be able to watch that Thanksgiving game on Netflix. It'll probably be buffering the whole
and
time.
Christmas night, too.
Dude, Christmas you got the Lion King. There's a lion.
The Mufasa.
You go to movies on Christmas?
Yeah, Thanksgiving night. After you've done that. And then Christmas, too, as well.
It's a great
after all the basketball.
I figured you had to travel all around because family stuff.
No, you wear your new shoes and you'll pop up.
Yeah, okay. You flex with the new gear.
Yeah, killing them. What you get for Christmas for? Look at it. Jabos, bro. Jabos.
We got a lot of options. Yeah, Gladiator 2, Moana 2, and I believe Wicked is coming out as well. So there's a lot of hype building for this Thanksgiving Day weekend. It's kind of a poor year.
I saw the commercial for that Wicked thing.
You interested?
Is it a musical?
Well, yeah, it was a Broadway musical that they've now adapted.
The lady
sings.
She's
film.
Like,
Ariana Grande's in it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, they
she's doing okay?
Reviews are good. She is not looking like she's
doing no, man. She used to be a little thicker than that.
Bro.
Once she used to
look healthier. Yeah, okay, that part.
Thought she had a bet payoff situation like Dawson. Brada, she didn't have to bounce back like you boys.
She was going heavy on KC last week.
No, I
dude, Gladiator 2, though?
Damn, Bears.
Looks badass.
Come on, bro.
It does.
I'm fired up.
Might actually end up watching the first one again just to get ready and revved up for it. I might go tomorrow. We'll see.
Let me know how it is.
I will. I'll let you know how Gladiator 2 is. Cowboys injury report did just drop. Good news is DeRon Bland was a full participant today.
He's back.
Was just a walkthrough, though.
Yeah.
But he was a full participant in practice, as was Tyler Guyton, limited, Kendricks, Neyland, Lamb, Lewis. Jordan Lewis, though, saying he expects to be back and playing. Brandon Cook's also limited. Jermaine Adoga was full as well, though. So there's an update.
Who's the guy that they were, sorry, Lucius. Sorry about that.
You're probably going to ask the same question. Who's the guy that they were holding his arm up and his body was all crooked and they had to, like, delicately walk him back there?
Yeah, he's done.
So that's done for the season.
Yeah, it's done.
What are they going to do for the fans? Like, we watch a whole lot of trauma, bro.
Yeah.
That's trauma. Like, this man's knee is twisted the wrong way. My man's arm is way up here. They got to walk him gently back there. We're just like, next play.
They're all yelling, like, get him off the field. We got another play to run.
Yeah. I'm rolling over at night thinking about this guy. Like, damn, is he okay?
The sick and twisted thing is I think we like the drama.
Oh.
You know, we're watching the boxing fights. We're watching the MMA fights. Football's the most popular sport, most watched sport in America. These guys are just running into each other. Car collisions every single play. We kind of like that.
CTE. We've seen broken necks. Like, that's a lot of trauma we've watched.
Reality television. We're into the trauma.
Yeah.
Give it to it. The trauma and the drama. We're into both. All right, so there's your quick injury report. And then I do want to give...
What was Cook's on?
Cooks was limited. Cooks was limited today. I do want to give a shout out though to Eddie George, former Dallas Cowboy. Unfortunately, had a snap streak.
We ruined.
You guys
his.
Did him dirty.
We was absolutely. Not cool.
He was washed up.
Yeah, we were washed up playing.
I agree.
We should have played
him. But the team was damn well washed up at the
time.
That's
what I was saying. That's what I was saying. We were washed up as a team. We might as well just kept playing.
Did you know Eddie George? He is the head coach of Tennessee State.
He is.
They are 8-3. That is the most wins in a single season since 2013.
They're not shutting down the program, are they?
Don't believe so. He's having a hell of a season here.
Okay,
I heard
that there was some talk about some money issues and stuff like that.
Well, you might be right on that.
I know. I mean, I hope not.
He's got some restaurants in the airport in Ohio, in Columbus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cashing in on that.
Some boogers.
Oh.
Man, I'll tell you what, Eddie George, whenever you bust out the all-time biceps list,
he's got some great biceps.
He will be in the top 10.
All right, a lot of good texts coming in. Ratatouille, Cars, or Toy Story, Hercules. I think we've got a new Hercules movie that's actually going to be coming out soon. There's so many great
Disney
films. The Jungle Book. Lucius, do you have a favorite Disney movie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's called The Goofy Movie.
Dude, The Goofy Movie is so underrated.
It's underrated. It's amazing.
So underrated.
And Tevin Campbell is singing in that damn song.
The soundtrack?
Beautiful. Yeah.
It is fantastic. Goofy Movie is incredible. The Lion King will always be my number one.
Yeah.
It is near and dear to my heart. I love that movie. I remember seeing, I think it might have been the first movie I ever went to as a child with my mom. It was awesome. The soundtrack's fantastic, but there's so many good ones. I mean, even now, like Inside Out recently, I thought was fantastic. The sequel was also good. Moana was good. Frozen's been blowing up out there. I haven't seen the sequel. There's some that aren't very good, but this is from the Internet Movie Database, IMDb. You have an issue, you take it up with them. Honorable mentions on here that did not quite make the top 10. We've got Monsters, Inc.
Oh, well, yeah. It's great.
Great movie.
How?
We got Cinderella, the first one. The original. The OG.
The original movie didn't make it?
Didn't make the top 10. And I love Cinderella as a kid.
Okay.
I don't know how it's not in the top 10. And honestly, I'm really upset about it. But The Lion King is an honorable mention.
They got 10 better?
It is not a top 10. Alice in Wonderland is an honorable mention.
There's another version that's pretty good.
What I think might be the most overrated Disney movie.
Sleeping Beauty.
Dumbo.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Dumbo was at 11. I didn't love Dumbo.
That's what the kids in third grade
called me. I love Dumbo.
Did you?
Yeah, it was really good. Sad,
it was
bro.
So sad. And I think that, like, even sad. That and Pinocchio, too. Pinocchio will mess with you, man.
Yeah.
Freaked me
really
out as a kid.
Sad.
I like that Soul movie a couple of years ago.
Soul was really good. Came out during the pandemic. So it was like a straight to Disney Plus release. But Soul was fantastic. Number 10 is The
Take
Jungle
Book. Take this here feather, Dumbo, and you can fly.
You can fly.
Get the hell out of here.
10 is The Jungle Book, which, hey, Blue, Bagheera, they got some great songs in there.
They do.
I don't know that it's a top 10 for me, but people do love The Jungle Book.
If you're talking about of all time now, the improvements in animation have been so big
that I don't think I can watch a movie like pre-2000s and consider it in my top 10 when it comes to animation. Yeah, or maybe 2010 even.
Wow. I think some of these hold up pretty well, but you're right. I mean, the
don't tell him that.
Leaps that we've taken when it comes to the animation, it is night and day. But, I mean, I'll still sit there and watch The Lion King and be perfectly
content. The Lion King, I would say, is on the other side of that threshold, maybe along with Little Mermaid. Maybe I overshot on 2000. Maybe I'm thinking more like 90
like the
or
30s.
88.
Okay.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter is infatuated with the part where Mufasa dies.
Dude,
she just wants to watch that part all the
time. Yeah, it's because
she climbed up on the back of the recliner and was like hanging down. She was like, is this like what Mufasa was doing? Yeah. I'm like, you're a little too obsessed with that part in the movie.
And then poor Simba comes over.
Yeah, it was the old raccoon hunt we went on that night.
She's infatuated with animal
death. She loves death. We did get a text in for Tarzan, and Tarzan's number 9.
All time.
All time soundtrack as well.
For sure.
Shout out to Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, also love the movie. I don't know it'd be in my top 10, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Peter Pan's good.
Yeah, Peter Pan is good. The original. I like the original cartoon. Yeah. Like from way back in the day. Yeah, those girls was loving Peter Pan.
And I still like the ride.
Oh, they was loving him.
At Magic Kingdom. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He was putting it out there, bro. They was loving him. Oh, Peter. And he'll go around just bouncing around short. Hey, girls. Oh, here comes Peter.
Yeah. In his tights.
He was well-dressed, yeah.
He's not leaving much up to the imagination.
Yeah, little fairy was jealous.
Not at all.
No, Tink was very jealous.
Yeah, she was real jealous. Oh, Tink was jealous. Nobody messing with Peter, bro.
Hey, Wendy, why don't you go find your own man?
Yeah.
7 is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Pretty good.
6 is Aladdin.
Aladdin's
a classic.
Yeah, Aladdin.
I love Aladdin.
It was fun.
I love the video game, dude. Super Nintendo,
I never
Aladdin.
Played the Aladdin,
oh,
the video game.
Oh, my gosh.
Number 5 is The Little Mermaid. How to Train Your Dragon, not Disney.
The Little Mermaid's great.
4 is Up.
Up is kind of sad.
God, it starts off awful.
Whoa. So sad.
Yeah.
God. So sad. Number 3 is Frozen. Might be recency bias.
Never saw that.
I haven't actually seen that one.
It's good.
I mean, when are we gonna get the Incredibles, Walchuk?
Incredibles wasn't in the top 10, and it would be in mine. It would be in mine.
Oh, man. When are we gonna get Holes?
Zootopia. Love that too. I think really this is an animated focus.
Okay.
Number 2 is Toy Story.
Yeah.
I think Toy Story 3 is the best, but I'm not gonna argue with Toy Story 1. It started everything. But number 1, IMDb says the greatest Disney movie of all time is indeed Beauty and the Beast.
Beautician and the Beast, you
say. A tale as old as time.
Thank you,
Who are the voices in that? Do you remember?
Hell no.
I actually do like
Alexander O'Neill.
Was it?
On the song, at least.
Okay, I'm going to have to look that up.
Boom.
I've been reintroduced to that movie since having kids.
It's really good.
And like the new one that they've done where it was like a live action or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was strong. Yeah, and the soundtrack's pop.
Emma Watson's in it.
Yeah.
I think about that whole dynamic a lot.
I was a 1991 film, Dawson. You might be out of the luck here.
With Belle and the Beast?
Yeah, like just be tall with really wide shoulders and a strong moral compass. Chicks are going to think you're hot.
Luke Evans.
I don't think it's that much of a fantasy.
Well, that's the...
maybe you can't look like a lion, but you can look close.
The live action, Luke Evans, yeah.
Oh, he wasn't in the... Oh, this is a different one?
No, well, the animated one was way back.
Okay, 1991. Sorry about that.
91, back. Paige O'Hara was the voice of Belle.
Right on, Wolchuk. There it is. Another top 10 in the books. Top 10 most 420s here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk some more hoop, though, Chief. What do you say?
Yeah, let's crank open a rim sesh. We have 7-foot disasters, a rookie sharpshooter in Los Angeles, and an all-time Lou Will story next in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. 54 minutes from now, LA Live with Lucius Alexander every night in the midst of the expressway. Time now to talk some hoop. Here's Chief.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed, and the G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when the Mavericks get to play the Pelicans and absolutely wax them. You almost wish that you could just play the Pelicans every single night. I would hate to be a Pelicans fan. You're just watching a bunch of guys
really
you've never
up.
Heard of before.
So banged up.
Yeah.
They're starters.
And they're a MASH unit.
And haven't lived up to the hype there. Like, I thought the Pelicans would be one of those teams that we'd be looking up now in the West. Over the moves they made over the last few years, Zion, if he had lived up to his expectations, like they'd be a serious contender in the West, and it just hasn't worked out.
Congratulations to the Boston Celtics. Maybe they pop out a banner for this one because they ended the undefeated season for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Should we be taking the Cavs more seriously in the East after this historic start that they've had?
No.
Still no.
I don't believe so. I mean... they certainly in this Eastern Conference they can make a nice run, but they're not going toe to toe with Boston.
Lost by three last night, right?
Yeah.
They've done the same thing the last couple of regular seasons, just so hot. You know, look like contenders around Christmas, All-Star break, but watching them in the playoffs last year, flawed.
Remember we were in Arizona, we're eating dinner after practice one day, and we watched the Cavs played the Mavericks, and they made that half-court shot.
Yes, Max Strus. It was Max like a full court, dude. Oh, that was like three-quarter court. Like
he had an unreal game.
The fourth quarter,
I think
he hit like seven threes in the fourth, and then he hit that final, and we were all just sitting there like, wait a minute, what just happened? But we were watching that. We were in Arizona for the
We were at B-Dubs, dude.
Yep.
Sure. Having some delicious Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yep.
It's the way to go.
Can't wait for that football hour here shortly.
Yeah, it's coming up in 12 minutes. By the way, 24 hours from right now, we'll be in the midst of a G-Bag Nation party at Hurtado in Arlington. Hurtado Barbecue, G-Bag Nation Collision Course on a Thirsty Thursday. Does it get any better? I think not.
Brisket nachos, please.
Is that what you're most fired? I think it's always the tacos for me, but what are you craving over there, Broadus? I mean, it's a weight loss challenge, so we got to be careful. Yeah. But at the same time, do we?
I'm just going for that trough, whatever they have, that big platter of all the food. Just go ahead, and I don't care.
Underrated. The tour of Hurtado Barbecue at the burn ends.
The turkey.
Oh, the turkeys. Oh,
the turkey is underrated at Hurtado.
It is very good, yeah.
It's so Raheem Moistered in that turkey.
Very moistered.
Raheem Moistered.
White or dark meat.
Yeah, either one is getting it done.
We had the nachos at the ballpark, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, for sure. Yeah, countless times.
I like the cylantro.
I've double fisted those nachos before.
You sure have, and it was impressive.
And I was just eating them like a pelican. I was just like putting my face in there and then flipping it up, catching the chip, and doing the thing. It's the most efficient way to crush.
Talented.
Wolchuk knows.
I was out in Emory, Texas last weekend, hit Marshall's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah? Never heard of.
I give it 4.5 stars out of 5.
Marshall's?
Yeah. Marshall's.
Marshall's.
There's a Marshall's in Dallas. Tom Marshall. I went to school with him in. But I don't think it's the same deal.
I thought it was just.
I bet it is, Broadus. You should check on that. I bet it's the exact same thing.
Maybe 4 out of 5,
4.5,
4.5.
It's a high score.
What'd you have?
Brisket ribs and jalapeno cheddar sausage.
I love the JC.
Did you go out back and like
sausage? Just
get sick. I mean, get sick like bulimically kind of.
It bodes well for our weight loss challenge.
Because the weight challenge thing. Not that bulimia is any.
I just had a little bit. I mean, now we've been starving ourselves for 2.5 weeks.
I was trying to be careful.
My stomach gets full quickly now. Like 3 minutes in, I'm like, well, guess we're done for now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Until somebody throws a box of donuts at you.
It is.
I think I might be down 9 pounds, not to scoreboard.
Good
or anything,
for you. Yeah. I'm not going to win.
Wow. You're down 9?
If you're up at 9, I got a ways to go here,
boys. He's throwing up.
Hey, dude, by any means necessary, I respect it.
Yeah, pride's on the line here.
Throw it up.
It's a warrior spirit right there. True competitor. Speaking of competitors.
Pride's on the line. Wow, I'm fat. I lost to Dawson. Ugh, pride.
Well, I mean, you had the opportunity to step in here and compete, Brian. I'd say you're doing halfway decent.
I'm trying my best.
I don't see your stuff in your mouth, so I would say pride is kind of important to you.
It is. Pride's important.
Yeah.
Wait till tomorrow when I get this Hurtado in front of me, though. It's not going to be prideful.
Yeah. No one will have any clue that I'm in the like Wes Unseld tomorrow.
I'll block you like Wes Unseld in an old 1970 NBA game.
There you go. The
elbows out.
Mm-hmm. I'll square up on you like I'm Maurice Lucas.
Hey, the Denver Nuggets guard, Russell Westbrook. I think some people forget he's a Nugget. 200 career triple doubles. He's met the mark.
I think he's actually kind of playing well, isn't
he? First player ever. Well, let's not overstate things, Broadus.
But he did have
12 points, watching, 10 boards, and 14 assists.
Yeah, I was watching. I just watching some highlights on him. I thought he was doing some productive things.
No, I'm sure he's had some moments. Last night was one of those, and that's triple double number 200. First player ever to do that. So congratulations.
He's going to score. You know, he's going to put up stats. Wow, that's tough. 10.8 points, 6 assists per game, though, in 24 minutes. Sounds like they got a pretty good role carved for him.
Man, you know who's got a pretty good role carved out for him right now is the rookie Dalton Knecht with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yep.
And this guy's kind of had it nice because he gets to fly under the radar a little bit because it's all about Bronny. And he's actually the first round pick. And it's like pressure's kind of off, but he's also a super veteran.
So he's
like,
connecting.
Yeah, he's connecting.
He's connecting, yeah.
Connecting from deep. 22 straight points for the Lakers. Just when he gets hot, and we saw this at Tennessee last year, like this is a bona fide scorer, especially three-point shooter. He had plenty of nights where there's 25-plus points for Dalton Knecht, and somehow he slips to the Lakers in the middle of the first round there, and it's hard to really understand why, other than the fact that I guess he's a little bit older and everybody's always looking for the, you know, 19-year-old kid who can do something.
It was weird,
Mr. Knecht is getting it done. What are you rubbing over there? What are you?
My hand itches.
Why is that?
Just got to get some money.
It
itches. There's just itching.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think those kind of guys are hard to project. You know, tall guy shoots it well, but what are his other skills that he's going to use in the league? And a lot of those guys fail. But, I mean, I think last night he tied the rookie record for threes in a game.
Yeah, incredible. He was dialed, man. And he's definitely one of those guys, like, when he's hot, like, just get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those nights last night versus the Utah Jazz. And their coach is hilarious, okay? This is the same guy who had the masterpiece of Dog S from last year at the podium.
Okay.
Here he is talking about Dalton Knecht and nobody on his team understanding what needed to be done.
It seemed like everybody in the gym knew that Dalton Knecht was going to shoot the next shot, with the exception of a few people.
they were on the other
team. Problem was that those few people were on our team.
What a line right there.
Outstanding
line. He is totally hilarious. And Bronny, by the way, I mean, not putting up great numbers right now with the G League squad. And Shams said the reason why he's not traveling with the G League team is just because there's just more, there's a different level of fanfare that comes with Bronny, you know, and that's certainly true. I don't know how many people are going to be like following around the South Bay Lakers or whatever to try and figure things out with, oh, we got to go see Bronny, we got to go see him get off the bus or whatever, follow him to the hotel, especially after his last outing, which was 2 of 10 from the field, 4 points in 26 minutes. So not necessarily lighting it up there, but, you know, I get it. We do have, did you guys talk about this yesterday? The Sixers and Tyrese Maxey having to
talk about this. I've been tracking the story though.
Okay, so it jumped out to me last week, like leading up to the Philadelphia Eagles game with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And Howard Eskin was on with Sean and RJ. And at the end, they asked him about just kind of the Joel Embiid Sixers disasters. They're 2-11 right now, and he's not playing well when he does play, which is rare. And Howard Eskin said that Joel Embiid's routine on a game day is to show up to the arena 45 minutes before tip-off.
It's insane. I don't know how that is. I mean, they let him do whatever he wants there in Philadelphia.
And so it's crazy. Shams reported that Tyrese Maxey, local legend, challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, called him out for being late for everything, quote, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to the coaching staff. And that, I mean, the dude is supremely talented, but Shaq calls him out all the time for like the work ethic stuff. He's always banged up. And now he's apparently just late to everything. And I mean, if he's showing up 45 minutes to the arena before tip off on a game night, that's a nice little window into how he's treating basically everything there.
Sounds like a major culture issue, accountability issue, the coaches. You know, I think a lot more of this stuff happens behind the scenes than we become aware of, because the media tears in it. Oh, he's late. Oh, he's missed a meeting. And, you know, they're like, whatever, right? It's a work environment. Sometimes people mess up. But I'm starting to think in Philadelphia, like the whole tanking process was just a sign that the organization has lost its ability to team build. And to, you know, to do the kind of things, because this is Ben Simmons and Embiid, right? They can't keep any collection of good players happy and together and excelling.
Yeah, and they do the Paul George thing. That's not going to age well at all. Another guy who's barely playing because he's always banged up or whatever. And Paul George has never been the answer for anybody.
No, so a lot of people have tried. Embiid,
God,
seems
I
like,
thought he was going to be the future, bro.
Me too.
Yeah, he was great.
God, I thought he was going to be the future.
Embiid just seems like a super me guy. Like what Eskin was talking about, he doesn't want to play in the back-to-backs. Then when he's hurt, and the big reason is because it'll lower his per-game average, and that's what he's looking at big picture. You know, I could play, and maybe it'd be a limited amount of minutes, but then it's going to hurt my overall season averages.
Right.
It's like, dude, what the hell?
Wow. Yeah. Tough is there deal. Like 2-8?
Yeah, 2-11.
2-11.
Yeah, they're like Washington Wizards level of disaster. And good news, Bobby Carilla pointed this out, our good buddy, the Mavericks do have the Sixers' second round pick in this upcoming draft. So if they are going to be like a bottom five team, then, you know.
Maybe get another Jaden Hardy type in that range.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you guys are talking about people being late and whatnot.
Yeah.
The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, apparently likes to show up on set late.
Yeah.
Like 3 to 4 hours, sometimes 7 to 8 hours late. You sitting around in your trailer waiting for The Rock to pull up.
Yeah. Maybe that's what pissed off Vin Diesel. I just wouldn't work with him again, right? And then he shows up and tells you it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Leg day, guys. You know how it goes.
Yeah. Congratulations. You're welcome. I'm here. Okay, football's finest coming up next, though. What's been bubbling here last couple hours, Chief?
Well, we have a Cleveland fat off, and hopefully Wolchuk's not too offended by this. It's actually
Excuse
pretty funny. And then we also have a sad Cowboy stat for you next year on The Fan.